This episode of the TryGames.net podcast features Alex Navarro, Associate Editor at GameSpot.com. The views and opinions expressed within by Mr. Navarro are strictly his own and do not reflect those of GameSpot.com or CNET.com. Thank you for listening.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 47 of the TryGames.net podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Chupon, and we have four lovely ladies with me today. One of them is a very special guest, and we'll
very
go in...
special lady.
We'll go in alphabetical order.
Not short bus special, just special.
Alphabetical order. Stoned, our guest comes first, Mr. Alex Navarro, Associate Editor of GameSpot. Say hello.
Oh, God, my career. Where is it gone?
This is it.
What has happened to me?
It's done. Next to him, virtually, we have Alfred. Al?
Oh, I thought that you were going to
fall asleep again.
Oh, my God.
I was
good start.
The punchline.
Oh, God, my career.
Next to Alfred, we have Ethan.
Yeah.
And finally, last but not least, or maybe so, we can ask Ethan. Tony!
Shake, shake, shake. Oh, shake, shake, shake! Shake your tuchus! Shake your tuchus!
Boo.
Dear Christ, we're gonna ruin Alex. He
done.
Is here.
Already over with.
It's already over with. He has joined us to discuss a topic that's kind of near and dear to my heart, which is game journalism. But before we get to that, we're gonna go through our usual agenda, spiel, whatever, whatever. We always start with what you've been playing, so we'll again go alphabetically. What have you been playing, Alex?
Guitar Hero.
Ah.
Yeah, I've been playing copious amounts of the Guitar Hero, and a lot of Catan.
Ah, the board game thing.
The board game thing, yeah. Yeah, I reviewed that, totally expecting not to play it anymore, and then I just kept playing it, and I feel like the most gigantic nerd on the face of the planet because of it.
You am addicted?
I am addicted to a friggin' German board game. What the hell?
Is that all you've been playing?
Yeah, pretty much Guitar Hero, and I mean, I've reviewed some stuff, but it's all been junk, so I don't play it.
Okay.
Don't make fun of the Krauts.
Except Ninja Gaiden. I did review Ninja Gaiden, and Ninja Gaiden is awesome. So.
Oh, right. For Virtual Console.
Yes.
Right?
Remember
okay.
How Ninja Gaiden's awesome? Yeah, it's
yes.
Still awesome.
It's so awesome that I throw my controller and want to play it again and again.
Yeah, totally. I believe I refer to it as the abusive spouse of the NES era.
Yes, I read
in
that.
In my review. So, yeah.
Keeps on beating you up, but you go back to it over and over again.
It just, you know, you just don't understand it the way that, you know, it just gets that way sometimes.
Oh, don't sing that. That's dramatic.
That's the death music.
Ooh, I know
memories.
Exactly. Al, what have you been playing?
You hear a lot.
I've been playing Pokemon.
Thanks for talking to me. Why don't you tell me what else I've been playing this week? Or how Pokemon has been going? Why don't you just do that, huh? Huh?
No, I think I'll move on. Ethan, what have you been playing? Just kidding. Al, what have you been playing?
That and a little bit of Punch-Out.
Ooh.
Still can't be Super Macho Man, because he be flexing his boobs and spinning.
His man boobs are very distracting. It's very hard to get the timing down on the punches when he's flexing like that.
Yeah, and then one time he did his super spin punch three times, and I was like, ah, I passed it, and I started punching the shit. Then he spun back and did it, and I dodged. One, two, three.
Did you just cut yourself off with that loud noise? I think you did. Al.
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 We have a Piper down.
Al. Al is down for the count. While he gets himself reconnected or whatever the fuck he's doing, we're moving on. What?
I'm her.
What have you been playing, Ethan?
You guys are going to be surprised, but on this old IBM PC, because my real PC is out of commission, I've been playing Hitman Contracts, which I bought off eBay.
Holy shit. And it works on that thing?
Yeah,
on your GeForce
really
Ti 200?
Ti 200, yeah. Dual core. It's pretty sweet.
Wow. Oh, how is and it works.
It's
wow.
Fun. Yeah, it works. Works all right.
Nice. What's anything out? Else?
It's Hitman.
Yeah.
It is most certainly Hitman.
Is that it or something else? Anything interesting since you've been empty for the past 20,000 weeks?
Well, Tony stole my San Andreas copy for PS2, so
oh,
I
Jesus
went to
Christ.
You got another one.
Well, that's what I'm about to say. Why don't you
fucking
steal my thunder
again? Well, stop
dickhead.
Complaining then.
Anyway, GameStop was running a special, you know, three games for the price of two used, so I just picked one up, played that a little bit.
Advertising
for games.
Huh?
What was the other games?
Wow, I don't even remember now. Oh, True Crime New York, which you also have, which right. I bought, and the newer SOCOM, which I haven't even opened.
Should have told me. I would have given you True Crimes New York.
No.
Just sitting here and collecting dust.
It's singular crime, though. It's true crime. There's only one crime in the whole game, apparently.
And the crime is the fact that someone paid money for that game.
Yeah. Ouch!
Yeah, zing! No. Hey,
zing!
I enjoy... This is a long discussion we've had. I intentionally buy bad games so that I don't play for 40 hours at a time because I don't have enough time. So I buy bad games. I get to play for an hour, get pissed off, and do something else.
Right. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Tony, what have you been playing?
Same stuff. Tiberian Sun, San Andreas. Yeah.
Well, at least that made it quick. Yep. I actually spent very little time playing shit because episode 46 was a bitch to edit, so I just didn't play much, except for
like
Wade.
Two bitches in a bitch mode.
Right. Wade Hickston's Counterpunch for the Game Boy Advance, which I saw in Circuit City for $8.96.
Oh, I remember that game.
Yeah, it's actually really fun. You review that? I thought it was Frank Provo.
No, I reviewed that.
Oh,
no, Frank wanted to review it, but I demanded to review it because it looks so awesome. So
it is awesome.
It is. It is kind of.
It is
kinda
quite
rad.
Awesome. You get to fight. You get to box a pimp.
Yeah, and like
and
a candy
awesome.
Raver.
I do that in real life.
Right. Sure you do. Boo! You're slacking. And I've been playing that. It's got some really great hand-drawn art. It was one of those games that I was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to buy this, and I never ended up buying it. And then it cost $8, and so I bought it then.
I think I'm back.
Oh, my
He's
God.
He's back! She's back. Okay.
Wow, that was a mean-ass spin punch.
Al is back from Super Macho Man Spin Punch, but fortunately we're already done with what you've been playing and ready to move on to the news, so we're going to take a short interlude music thing break here and then come back. And we're back!
That was amazing, dude. We're living in a time warp.
Oh my God, we're in the future.
Holy crud. Your technology is so much more advanced than ours.
It's because I'm from Asia.
No, that's what you get when you have zero budget. It's really cool shit.
God, zero budget and roots in Asia. Let's see.
Mm.
I have neither, so there you go.
Okay, starting with just some quick news shit. We're going to try to compress this to get to the main topic. First, anybody who's interested in Sony's Gamers Day, they revealed a bunch of games and, well, not so much revealed, but just showed on video or showed on hands-on. Did you get to play any of them, Alex?
I did not go to the event.
Ah, okay, so it was only Ricardo.
It was a bunch of us, but not you. I don't travel a lot. I'm a reviews guy. They don't drag me out except for like E3, and then you know I say, hey, I really want to go to Tokyo Game Show, and then they just kind of laugh at me. So, every once in a while I get pulled out to some event, but for the most part, no, I tend to stick around. But I did watch a lot of the videos. I did read the previews.
Right.
So
right. Well, there you go.
So I have
there
perspective.
Right. There's Heavenly. I'm reading this off of oh my God, your competitor, 1UP.com right now. the list of the games that they're showing. Heavenly Sword, which looks like God of War female.
Yeah.
Pain, which basically you're in like a man cannon and then or a bungee jump or something, and then you get thrown out and you have to cause as much pain as you can to yourself.
Do you remember
man
the game cannon. Flat Out?
Oh,
it's like
flat
the
out.
Stunt mode from that, but without a car.
Ouch.
And more like silliness.
So, kind of like Flat Out or Burnout with people.
Yes.
With one person. Wow.
Yes.
God of War, Chains of Olympus, which looks all 27 types of awesome. Little Big Planet, SOCOM Confrontation, Folklore, Uncharted, Drake's Fortune, Lair, Siphon Filter, Stranglehold, Eye of Judgment. Oh, great. Time Shift, The Bigs, Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2.
Yep.
Pursuit Force, Extreme Justice. Didn't you review the first one?
I did.
Alex? How was that?
It was kind of dumb, but a fun dumb. So good.
Fun dumb?
Fun dumb.
Fun dumb.
Fun dumb.
Fun dumb. Yeah,
very fun dumb.
It's a new word.
Fundums. Oh, shit.
Welcome to my
It was many much fundums.
Good grammars from writer of game review. SOCOM Tactical Strike for PSP. NBA 08. I'm so looking forward to that one because it'll be broken. Sorry. And Ratchet & Clank Future. And then there's a bunch of videos on that. So if anybody is interested, go look at that shit. Moving on. Rumor. Nintendo is going to kill Nintendo Power. This is from Wired's Game Life blog. According to IGN, Nintendo may be pondering the end of Nintendo Power magazine or planning some kind of major restructuring of it. Mass layoffs are apparently in the works and staff are being told to find other employment by September of this year. Ooh. If it is truly the end of Nintendo Power, it's really rather sad. Sure, the magazine is a bit goofy, a bit, with its endless sunshine and candy-colored view of the world, but it's one of those pillars of gaming that's just always been there. Who among us doesn't have a copy or two sitting in a drawer or closet? Not me, because I threw all of them out. Any word from any of you guys? Opinions, thoughts?
I had too many issues of Nintendo Power as a kid. I don't have any of them anymore, but I subscribed to that magazine for years. Years.
Yeah, me too.
So I would be really bummed if that happened, but I don't know anything. Right. I don't know if that's just rumor or if that's actually happening or not. So.
Right.
Do you still subscribe to it? Do you still read
no,
it?
No, not so much. Not since, I turned, 13.
It is kind of geared towards a younger audience.
Well, not as much anymore. In the last few years, they've tried to actually make it more of a real, more of an OPM or an OXM kind of thing.
Right.
So they're actually talking smack about some of, the games that are bad, as opposed to saying, well, it could be good.
It could be good.
I still have one.
You what? Say again now?
I still have one copy of Nintendo Power. It was the Mega Man X issue.
Ooh.
I want to have a guitar with the body painted in that that particular picture. That's
nice.
Why I kept it.
Nice.
Huh.
And on the whole, Nintendo Power is going to the grave and all that shit. There's some talk from the Nordic Games Conference. Have any of you ever been to Nord?
No, I've spoken to
Nord. I can safely say I've never been to Nord.
Dude, what the hell, man? All they have is fish cakes and Vikings. What the hell is going on with this thing?
Well, they have a games have conference games too.
No, they don't even have the Vikings anymore. They just have fish cakes.
I want fish cake.
They have Viking metal bands, but they don't actually have Vikings.
Yeah, and so they say that web has taken over from print, says journalist panel. In Norway, we have no games magazines, just a Scandinavian magazine, Game Reactor. Well, that is one game magazine. Yeah. We have some websites, some trade magazines. The websites and the newspapers are the driving force. Oh. And it basically goes on to say that, print, shitty. Not print, not shitty. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't want to, step on too many toes, but I will just say
right.
The internet is the future. Live in the future. Forget the past. Internet. Web 3.0.
Oh, jeez.
Jesus Christ.
Stuffing the channel with magazines. The only regret I have from this is that I can't take the internet to the bathroom.
Not yet.
No, I'm not taking any device, save for my Game Boy.
If you had,
to the bathroom.
It'll be built in. You won't get a toilet without the web.
I'm telling you, if you had a Japanese cell phone, you could take the internet to the bathroom with you.
Good point. Very good point. Tony, Al, your thoughts?
Actually, you can still just take a freaking laptop.
But I don't want to.
He doesn't want to.
You take the laptop into work, it smells like shit. Well, that's because I took it into the shitter with me. Oh, that's an explanation. You're
that's
fired.
That's because he's afraid he might accidentally wipe his ass with the laptop.
This smell
new color brown. It's a brown shell.
That seems like it would be difficult.
Custom made.
Well, there's always that new Google ISP. You always have internet coming out of your toilet.
Oh, jeez.
Right. Oh, God, TISP.
TISP? Is that
what it was, TISP.
I don't know what you guys are smoking.
Toilet service protection.
God,
I suck today.
Yeah, you do. There's more talk before we actually move on to real news. Peter Moore kicks Sony while it's down. Here's what the guy has to say. I've always enjoyed being that feisty second place guy that's clawing hard to get respect in the marketplace, and I often wonder whether that has been, in the last 6 to 9 months, part of Sony's problem. Where you get to this concept of the arrogance of the incumbent. You don't know failure and you don't know struggle because all you've known is success. As a result, you have a different bearing on the way you do business every day because it comes from a platform of being number one and successful instead of a platform of being number two and striving for success. So Peter Moore saying he loves Avis. Thoughts? Trash talk back?
Avis.
He's probably somewhat right. There's probably a culture of like, we don't give a fuck, we know what's best, and we're not going to listen. And now they're getting spanked for it a little bit. So,
well, but we'll I think that culture is why Ken Kutaragi is not there anymore. So
But he's moved. You know, he's moved up.
Oh yeah,
he keeps.
He has ascended.
Love it. Yeah,
he has
exactly.
graduated
to the Valhalla of God. Sony.
Which means he's dead.
Yeah, pretty much.
More or less.
Get off the Nordic talk.
Oh, jeez. Hey, we're trying to make a theme here. I don't know what.
Valhalla. This week, Vikings.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. Moving on to actual news. Sony to, and right off the heels of this shit, Sony to post largest quarterly loss in 4 years. That kind of sucks for them. Although I will,
I'm sorry.
Although I will say that, like, some of it is due to the PS3 R&D. But remember that whole power adapter shit problem with people's laptops that caused a massive recall.
The
so,
battery.
I mean, I think the problem here, and any time someone Sony or Microsoft loses this or that, everyone's like, "Oh my God, Xbox sucks!" And it's like, you know, they do other stuff too.
And they also settled. Yeah, they also settled
the immersion lawsuit.
Yeah, immersion. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now they can have Rumble again.
Yeah.
We.
Have they? Yeah, they need to actually come out and announce that, because it, like, I mean, you guys might know it, but like for us, it's like we don't. They haven't announced the Rumble yet. They've just said that they've settled. So to me, what that, as a consumer, someone who's not inside the industry, to me, what that says is, okay, we can sell our DualShock 2 controllers again, but it remains to be seen what happens to DualShock 3. So hopefully, Alex is holding something back from us that we will find out in, like, next year, and then we can play God of War 3 with Rumble. We'll see.
Nah, I got nothing. I got nothing, dude. Sorry.
They're coming out with a waistband that vibrates.
Oh, dear God. Let me just read from this, and we'll move on.
Beat me again.
Sony's profits for the fiscal year and March 31st have fallen 68% over the last year, from $1.8 billion to $596.8 billion. So that's almost like half a billion dollars of losses. In the report, Sony blamed the losses primarily on two major factors: large losses taken at retail on every PS3 sold, and the recall of nearly 10 million laptop PC batteries. That's why I use a compact. I don't know if that matters, but yeah. Any thoughts, or can we move on?
We can move on.
We can move on. News: Virginia Tech Rampage game creator gets assholish on people. For a little background on this, some people may remember the Columbine game created with the Super RPG Maker. It was somewhat, some people say it was in bad taste, but the guy really had, if you will, an artistic reason, or at least a very thoughtful reason behind making the game. He wanted people to get exposed to it and understand why this thing happened, why it might have happened, or whatnot. This guy just goes out and makes a game that's kind of totally classless, tasteless, baseless, stupid, and shitty. People complain, and so he goes, "Attention, angry people. I will take this game down from Newgrounds," which is a Flash game site or whatever, "if the donation amount for his stuff reaches $1,000 US. I'll take it down from here totally," which is his own domain, "if it reaches $2,000, and I will apologize if it reaches $3,000. What?
How about we just go and gangbang him?
Well, I would not like to enter him. You can go ahead and do that if you want.
You want to?
Oh,
yeah,
Jesus,
we'll make
Christ.
That a 20th.
You definitely do.
Alex Navarro, folks. That wasn't him.
No, that was not me. I'm just going to say that this dude never had any intention of taking anything down. He was just going to see if anyone would actually fall for it, and no. So, whatever. This guy is an ass.
Whole. Yeah. Ash, absolutely.
See, just he knows about...
Yeah.
He knows about bad press.
Yeah.
Bad press is press.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's good.
And whatever, I'm sure the postal guys will totally hire that dude or something. So, you know, he'll get his.
Yeah. Oh my God, him and Gary Coleman on the same set. That'd be amazing.
That would just cause a nuclear explosion of mediocrity that I don't think anyone is prepared for, so.
Unless they dig up Dana Plato and put it there, too.
Whoa!
Oh, God damn,
no!
Whoa.
Whoa. Whoa. I can't believe you went there.
Oh, damn.
Wow, go play your sewer shark, Tony. God.
Sewer Shark was awesome.
Oh, man.
Not as awesome as Night Trap.
Night Trap. Let's see. More news, and something that's kind of old news by now, because everybody and their mother and their grandmother's mother and Agent Smith knows Halo 3 is coming earlier than expected, September 25. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody say nothing? Yes? No?
There's Halo. There's a beta. You can play it. It's you can already play it right now.
Yeah.
I talked to somebody who played it last night, actually. And he,
who is it?
Guy Angel. He's a friend of Vanessa's friend. Went to a party.
Okay.
But he loved it. But he's a big Halo
fan. Oh, that
fan.
Guy.
Yeah, you know him.
Yeah.
He's actually a police officer, an NYPD police officer.
Oh,
and
big deal.
I just found it interesting that he's like obsessively talking about all the cool weapons that he can use, and then at 11:30 had to leave the party to go to work.
A dangerous cop.
I just
when
worry
you can
that,
use a real gun.
Yeah, he's going and he works near Yankee Stadium, so he's going to the Bronx now, probably beating up some innocent people.
Before the game.
How those Yankees, huh, Ethan? Huh? Mets? What?
Shut up! Shut the fuck up!
Mets. Okay. Moving on. Ethan, this one's your territory. I want to hear what you have to say about this. Google patents gamer profiling technology. Okay. Basically, and I know Ethan's going to have a heart attack over this. Internet behemoth Google has devised a strategy for psychologically profiling online gamers, which may be utilized to help advertisers specifically target individual consumers. Privacy advocates are alarmed by the possibility.
Sounds like racial profiling to me.
And let me just read the first paragraph of this here. This is from next-gen.biz. Psychological profiles can be compiled by covertly monitoring the way in which online gamers play PC and console titles. Players' behavioral characteristics and preferences can be cataloged, hence, allowing for the possibility of targeting individuals with customized adverts, as they call them in the Brit. Ethan and Tony, it's your time to like start fighting and biting each other and scratching and girl fighting and slapping and making a
bunch of wow wow.
I love you, Tony.
I
actually have no problem with this. I'm not concerned about it at all.
Of course you would be.
The privacy.
Of course you would be, actually.
And I think that it's overall, it's probably a good thing.
Because I'm Ethan, I have nothing to hide.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know.
I don't have anything to hide either, but I don't want people knowing, you know, profiling me.
Hold on, so it depends on how good the technology really is. If it's good enough to actually predict what players are doing and why they like it and what they're doing, then the game companies can use it themselves to figure out how they should develop. So it goes beyond just how you advertise, but it goes to an algorithm trying to figure out what actually works best in a game environment. And that's what I think is kind of exciting about it. As far as the advertising piece goes, fuck it. I mean, there's nothing really that private about how you play a game. That's what they're collecting. That's what the algorithm's doing. So it's not like they're collecting my credit card number and social security number, my grandmother's maiden name, or the type of underwear she wears, which like, I would have no problem if they did collect.
Well, I wanted to know about that.
If they're not doing this, they're just focus testing or, you know, going out there and, like, you know, just pulling the press or doing whatever they have to get the same information. So this is just them cutting out some of the middle work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, and I would hope there's actually innovative ways of looking at it that you can't do in a focus group. You know, you have a human eye looking at a group of players and then interviewing them, where this is kind of more scientific and really can add up, you know, how much time did they spend doing a certain action and how often did they do it and the speed that they did it. And there's got to be good information you can get from that.
And by avoiding focus groups, you avoid those people who are like, where are my $15? I want to play this game for 2 minutes and then just get out here and say whatever the fuck I want. And
also
there you
true.
Go.
Also true.
Tony, rebuttal?
Nope.
He just doesn't like it. Oh, we're moving through this fast. I like this. News, hardware sales go up, game sales go down. From Alex's friend, Brendan Sinclair, from GameSpot.com News. Load up site. Load up site. Alex, make it go faster.
He's coming on next week, right?
Yeah, maybe. No. You're getting Brendan Sinclair on, the voice of Canada? No, that's...
No, I'm wrong. Hell? It was Tor. Thorson, sorry.
The voice of Nord.
There's the Nordic guy. There you go.
Yeah.
Today, the research firm MPD Fun World released its sales figures for April of 2007. The game industry saw another growth month with 838.6 million in U.S. sales of game hardware, software, and accessories, a 20% year-over-year increase. When broken down, though, MPD's latest report paints a more mixed picture of the state of the U.S. game industry. Most noticeable was the effect of April's scant release schedule. Non-PC game software sales flatlined at 389.8 million, a 1% decline from April when Kingdom Hearts 2... I'm sorry, from April 2006, when Kingdom Hearts 2 and The Elder Scrolls 4 led a pack of popular releases. However, this year, console software sales slid a dramatic 90% year-on-year during the month, totaling only 200, blah, 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 numbers, numbers, numbers.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of games coming out. That's pretty much what that boils down to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And most of what's coming out is not very good.
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure? Because there's... Yeah, exactly. Moving on.
There's Pokemon. That's like the only game that's selling. And everybody's bitching about that.
Pokemans.
No. And finally, we're going to see Al splurge his pants. StarCraft 2! Yay!
Whee!
Yeah.
StarCraft that's exciting 2. For a lot of people.
Protoss.
Especially
Protoss,
Korea.
Protoss. Oh, yeah, those guys, they're eating it up.
Shit, if you took a satellite picture of the world, I think Korea would be, like, lit up in flames right now, and you could see that from, like, the moon. Because they announced it in Korea, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They had a big event over there. And then, you know, now, so if North Korea wants to invade South Korea, I think this is the day to do it.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm so ronery. I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, I support crazy fandom, so this is good.
I think it's pretty amazing that the original StarCraft is still being played online pretty aggressively.
Yeah,
that game is amazing. Awesome. I'm about to install it right now.
Yeah, one of the greatest games of all time.
Yeah.
And I've never played it. Oh, well.
Really?
It's going to be called StarCraft 2, Wrath of Diablo.
Don't do it.
No,
Wrath of Diablo.
I want Diablo!
All right.
Yeah, who cares?
So you're saying you want like a StarCraft Diablo mashup?
Starablo!
That would be great. Actually, why don't they do that? Why are none of the RTS guys getting together and literally pitting like game against game? That is a great idea.
Because it might not sell.
It wouldn't work, but, you know, fuck it. It'd be sweet.
You know, it'd be like, I have this sword and shield and I have magic. And then the Protoss, they don't even talk. It's like, and he's dead.
No. But yeah, I mean, obviously there'd be some balancing involved.
Here's the DJ Muggs remix mashup of Madden and Need for Speed.
Oh,
yeah,
no,
That would be great. That would be fantastic. You could pass
Need
from
for
car
Madden
to car.
Is at zero.
Wasn't that supposed to be Razzity and Perfix?
The cops are chasing the receiver down the sideline.
I just want to see the DJ screw version of CNC.
It'll be like the last Boy Scout, what you just said about the football and the Need for Speed.
Gun on field.
Yeah.
You know, when I was testing games, I worked on some football stuff, and there was, like, a big whiteboard suggestion, like, for, you know, the next year's game, and I just wrote on there at one point, last Boy Scout mode.
Gun in game!
I was already about to get, like, laid off, so I figured, what the hell, I just wrote out this really elaborate thing about how the last Boy Scout mode would work, and how
fuck
we would
you
get
guys.
It.
You know,
but that's not such a bad idea for a game like Late Hits. Like, they could put that in, you know? After you attack on the guy, you get to blow his head off with a grenade launcher.
I think that'll be the sequel to Blitz, the league. Yeah. That'll be the next one. Unless they just decide to put the first one out on four more platforms.
The Blitz the Ghetto.
Ugh, Blitz the Ghetto.
It's Blitz Armageddon, that's what it is.
Oh, Jesus.
Starring Bruce Willis.
Oh, jeez.
And Blitz Aerosmith.
Oh, God.
Jeez.
That's a theme song.
Jesus.
We will move on to the next segment. Enjoy this break. And we're back.
Hold on. Let me take a sip of my delicious soda beverage here.
I wish I could take a sip of a beer beverage, but I do not have one in front of me.
Yeah, man.
Hence with.
I need to buy some beer.
Okay. The bag of shit.
Oh, Jesus. What have I walked into?
Here's the bag of shit, and the idea for those of you who did not listen to last week's episode where it debuted, bag of shit, bring a game that is really shitty that you've played, perhaps bought, and suffered through. And we will just try to see which one is the worst one, and I always win, which is not true. I will let Alex go first.
You won last week, that's for sure.
Yeah, jump and punch.
I jump and
Alex,
punch.
Alex, for reference, last week my game was Street Fighter 2 for the DOS.
Ow.
And DOS had two joysticks, and it, when you want to do a fierce punch, you press up and punch, which is the same thing as jumping and punching.
You know, I think I had that.
I think I
might
have
had that as a kid. Yeah. That was really bad. That was really bad.
I pulled it out again to verify if I was correct or incorrect in how you did a fierce punch, and I was correct. There was even an instance where I pressed the punch button and he kicked. But moving on, what is your bag of shit game, and it can't be Big Rigs?
All right, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've reviewed so many terrible games. I guess I should just stick to stuff I've, you know, done recently for reference. So I'll just go this week. And I'll say Sultrio Solitaire for the Xbox Live Arcade.
Whoa.
Doesn't it have a multiplayer mode?
Yeah, which isn't.
And it's solitaire.
Doesn't that defeat the purpose of solitaire if you're playing it against people?
Oh my god.
Am I wrong? Does that not just break solitaire?
Very,
very
But yeah, no, it's a friggin' solitaire game, and they're charging $10 for it. That's awful.
$10?
And I had to pay for it. Like, they don't send us... I mean, I can't play that stuff online on PartnerNet or whatever, so I got to download that myself.
Oh, man. So that it's not sucks. Like GameTap where they send the press like free codes. It's just like, hey, play our shitty game, pay for it, give it a 9.
Yeah, I mean, we get some of the Sony PS Network stuff ahead of time, but like, yeah, the live arcade stuff is like, we either download it on PartnerNet and maybe find someone else playing it, or we just buy it.
Oh my God, that's like having a first-person shooter bridge game.
You know, they probably call it solitaire because you'll be the only one playing it.
Yeah. Against nobody.
Oh,
against the, nobody.
Oh, good job.
Nice, Tony. So just but, Tony, what is your bag of shit game then, Tony?
I think I got a good one. for Genesis, DJ Boy.
Oh yeah.
Huh?
Never heard of
that. Yeah, that game sucks.
You know, DJ Boy, I think, is one of our forum ranks. I don't know. I don't know anything about
man.
The game.
What it is a really, really shitty side-scrolling beat-em-up where you're on inline skates and you got to fight other inline skaters who stole something from you.
What does that,
awesome.
What does that have to do with DJs?
Well, nothing.
Do you scratch at any point?
Not at all.
I think I was scratching my nuts most of the time. That was about the most fun I had with the game. That game sucked.
How are your fingernails
ass.
Doing? Ugh,
oh,
God.
No, it really sucked. I mean, the animation was like maybe 2 character animations, and, you know. So you got when he skates, it's like leg.
I love this guy's noises.
Leg. That's all you see. And
you're like that guy from Police Academy.
Yeah,
the sound effects.
Probably worse.
Jeez.
No, and then the animation sucks so hard. You throw a punch, and it was like the worst stiff arm animation I've ever seen. The game was really unfair in that the controls didn't work, and
you're just not good enough.
Yeah, you want to be good at that game? You could look it up. Go look it up. Look it up. See what I'm talking about.
DJ, I can't find
sucked.
It. I've been looking.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Is it BOYZ or some bullshit like that?
No. DJ BOY.
Yeah.
Oh,
no, it's not like Skater Boy or something. It's just straight up DJ Boy.
Wow, that does look bad. Found it on Wiki.
Wikipedia.
Let's query Al. What is your bag of shit game this week?
NFL Football for the NES by LJN.
Oh, dear God.
Any game
this
from
LJN. You did not just name drop LJN.
Yes,
wow.
I did.
Oh, my God. Back to the Future. Hello.
The former Acclaim. Or should I say, not the former Acclaim, but purchased by Acclaim.
Yeah.
No, it was Acclaim. Sorry.
It was Acclaim. It was just to get around Nintendo's little, you're going to only have 5 games a year thing.
Yeah.
But do tell.
Oh, man. Have you ever had a game that was impossible? I mean, not like hard to play, but impossible to play without the manual?
Uh-oh.
Well,
no, I think this is a pretty good way.
Yeah.
Now,
flight simulators.
I think I'm... No. You can actually enter the game of Flight Simulator and actually move around to some point before you crash in a Flight Simulator.
You gotta know how to turn the engines on.
Okay, it doesn't fucking matter. You can at least see... No, wait. Look, you can at least see the world around you. If you move the mouse or you hit the buttons or something
like
that.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. Go ahead.
With NFL Football, you are physically unable to play the game without the damn manual.
What do you need to do? You have to enter like a, you know, 90-part cheat code just to get in it?
No.
Up, down, down, left, right, left, right, start.
No, nothing like that. When you choose your teams, you get into the game, you may see the kickoff. You get the kickoff, and then you get to your first play, and without the manual, you cannot pick a play.
Well, what does the manual tell
all
you to
the
do?
All the plays are in the manual.
Awesome.
What do you mean?
The plays were are manual. In the manual.
Wow.
That's awesome.
So if you've lost the manual, or if it burned, or if someone, like your little brother or sister, marked in it with a black
you're
marker
done.
Or something.
Wow, that
or
is
feces.
Bad.
You're done. Like, I think I still have this
That's...
game in my bin, out of my Nintendo games. And if I actually do, I'm going to just... You know, I'm gonna plot my Nintendo.
Yeah,
just
bring that over
just for all laughs.
Like I can just envision the pitch meeting where that came up. Like it's just so meta. It's like, no, check it out. The playbook is really a book.
Right.
You really have to.
And we can save development dollars by not having them put it in the game.
Brilliant.
I can't believe the years that I've spent in my childhood looking at that and looking at Tecmo Bowl. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna play Tecmo Bowl, but I'm really tired of playing it because I play it all the time. But I'm gonna play this NFL Football that my uncle bought because he really loves football.
I like
right?
Tecmo Bowl.
And I put it in, and then I'm like, how do I play the game?
Listen,
I'm like 8-9 years old. I don't understand how to get. How do you play this game?
They did it,
and then I found
out
you need the manual.
Yeah, they did it to defend against piracy. You know, because like you would ever want to steal a game that shitty. Anything from LPN
yeah.
sucked.
No, that's right. That was like the you know, cover box cover serial number before box cover serial numbers were in existence.
Their logo has a rainbow. How can you hate any of their games? Let's brisk it along. Ethan, what's your bag of shit game? You bag of shit. Since you weren't here last week, bag of shit.
You know,
what's
I tried to think of games that we haven't already talked about that are really shitty, and I just kept finding myself going back yet again to the Police Quest series. For me, it was Police Quest 4 Open Season. I don't know if you guys know anything about this game.
So you arrested hunting game?
Yeah, you arrested deer.
You arrested a bad animated film.
That's right. Bambi, who killed your mother? I will figure it out. No.
Oh, God.
It took kind of one of the early role-playing strategy game things and just blew it the fuck up. Like, everything was kind of going great in the series until that piece of shit game. Like, 1 was good, 2 was good, 3 had some pretty good improvements, and then 4 just took everything great, including, like, the comedy that was in it, and Thor wrote out the vagina. It was just really bad.
Ah. The duck vagina?
Yeah, the corkscrew duck vagina. It was, like, their big thing was that it used all photos instead of animation.
Ah.
Right.
So they took...
Oh it's God. Missed. Yeah.
And it came
except
with a
worse.
Playbook.
Oh, jeez.
Well, it was just a hunt and peck pixel kind of to figure out the what you're supposed to do as opposed to a real intellectual challenge. It was just try to figure out what the game designers were putting there to get you to click on something to get through the game. It was just horrible.
That sounds like it blows.
And you only I think like the game was so boring that in the entire game, and I did play it start to finish. I don't know why you shoot. I'm pretty sure
because you're an asshole.
Yes, because I am an asshole. You shoot once the entire game in a police game. You shoot once.
Rated G.
Wow.
Now,
are they trying to send a message?
Maybe they're trying to be that ultra realistic. But you know what? If I'm playing a video game, I kind of want to have fun. And if my game's about police or anything else, like shooting people, I should be able to shoot people.
Yeah, but it's about European police, you know, because they don't carry guns.
They have Bobby there.
Good one, Tommy.
Wow.
God damn it.
Jesus Christ, dude.
What the hell happened
to me today?
You
are 0-28.
Someone help me. What the hell's going on with me today?
You get no help.
Oh, I guess to move it along, I'll go. I'll say right now that I think I've lost this one. Al's was pretty bad. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You guys determine. My game this week is Mortal Kombat, the port for the Game Boy.
Oh, God, I remember
Boy
that.
Port.
Oh, man.
Dot Matrix one?
Oh, that was terrible.
That's terrible.
That's awful.
See, here's the thing. Okay, here's the thing. I bought my friend the Game Gear version for his birthday, and that was serviceable considering what the system can do.
Right.
This thing was like... spinach on a fucking... I don't even know what to say now because I'm...
That was an analogy gone so wrong. I mean, you gotta come up with something for spinach.
I'm developing a hernia in my brain just thinking about it, right? This thing was like... Okay. Do you remember... Tony, you played that... I let you play that Street Fighter for the PC that I was talking about last week, right?
Oh, my God.
You saw how fucked up and borked that animation was, right?
That game sucked.
Okay. Multiply the slowness of that game times 2, and you've got the Mortal Kombat for the Game Boy. When you pressed the punch button, there was about 1 second of delay between when your fist actually started moving and when it actually went to the animation frame of, oh, my fist is out and I can hit somebody.
Also, it's like the live arcade version of Street Fighter.
kind of, except it wasn't internet lag. It was literally the frame was going slow.
Just broken game lag.
But there was only half a second before your actual fist hit the fucking Game Boy.
Pretty much. Okay, imagine Mortal Kombat underwater. That's what the physics were like, okay?
How many people could you pick?
And you could pick 6 out of the 7, which wasn't so terrible, but then... When you consider that Sub-Zero's spine rip fatality was reduced to I'm going to freeze you and shatter you in the SNES version, which wasn't that bad, mm-hmm. which was further reduced to I'm going to do a sliding punch.
What is that?
That's all
punch.
It was.
A sliding punch.
That the fatality for
what do you mean
the
sliding punch?
Game Boy
like
version,
you take a running slide on ice and punch him?
All he did was put his fist out and then his sprite just moved towards the enemy and knocked the
really
guy down.
Plain.
Now let's be fair here. We're talking
that's
about
awesome.
The Game Boy. Mm. The Game Boy was not built for fighting games.
Very true.
They should
Although
not
somehow
put,
Crawfish yeah, managed Street to squeeze Fighter. Street Fighter Alpha in there, but that's a different story
right.
because no, that was Game Boy Color.
It's just different time, you know, fatality is not really so much a thing that, you know, they liked, and, you know, obviously the Game Boy not really, you know, can't really do blood effects.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, nope. there's that shade of gray that you could use.
Yeah, but like Dark Spinach. That doesn't excuse it. That doesn't excuse the game. It just shouldn't have existed ever at all.
I totally agree. All I'll say is that the other fatality, I think it was Kano,
oh, God.
Was a sliding kick.
Oh,
Jesus.
Yeah, that's an okay substitute for ripping out someone's heart. Christ.
It's the same thing.
It really is.
I don't know. It was terrible. But I think I don't know who wins this round. You rabble amongst yourselves. I don't really care because I'm dying thinking of this game.
It's either MK or the NFL game. I'm not even competing at this point.
Yeah, that's pretty
multiplayer solitaire.
$10 solitaire is pretty bad just from a conceptual point of view.
For $10.
Yeah.
You can
redeems it.
Walk up to a homeless man. He will hand you a game of solitaire for free.
Wow.
It's everywhere. There is no way not to get solitaire.
Yeah, but that's because he can't eat it.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness.
Why would you pay $10 for solitaire ever?
I don't know. Ethan, don't try to think of it. No.
I'm trying.
Stop.
Stop. All right. Stop. There's smoke coming out of my ears right now.
All right. Let's move on to our main topic after this quick break. Break. We're back, and we're going to talk about this main topic, which is basically, to be broad about it, just journalism and the game industry and just things that go on in it, about it, around it, of it, in it, through it. And yeah, I'll shut up now. This has basically been spurred by, I guess, what I would personally call the loss of two of the biggest assets to game journalism and game criticism over the past 6 months. The first one is, and the more recent one, is 1UP.com, which is a subsidiary of Ziff Davis. 1UP.com's news reporter Luke Smith, who was used to work for Kotaku. He was very popular in, I guess, kind of I-don't-give-a-fuck type news reporting and yeah. just commentary. I don't know if anybody's ever listened to any of the podcasts that he's been on at 1UP.com, but, you know, he's very, very critical, very outspoken, very, like, you know, not willing to back down or mince his words. One of his famous quotes was, you know, he went to David Jaffe, who was, you know, the God of War creator, and asked him, "So do you think Sony sent Resistance Fallen Man to die because the launch sucked?" Basically something like that. You know, not something that people usually talk about, or at least in that brash of a manner. And, you know, for me, even though he could kind of be considered a forum troll, his open demeanor and just his, you know, unwillingness to sugarcoat anything basically was what I valued, because, you know, you kind of get real answers out of people. And, you know, he works for Microsoft. Now he works for Bungie in their community. I think he's their community manager now for Halo 3 or something like that. On the other side of the spectrum, we have Alex's old coworker and former boss, Greg Kasavin, who was the editor-in-chief of GameSpot. The site director, I guess, is a more appropriate title, right? Or whatever. They're both.
Yeah, he was executive editor, site director, a variety of different titles over the years.
Right. And he basically left to make games. As someone who uses these websites, you know, as a consumer, Greg has been, you know, one of my most favorite reviewers, because he goes really in depth and he, you know, has a lot to say about the game that he's reviewing, and he's always very impartial. And just to lose him as a reviewer was kind of, you know, kind of sucky. And he basically left to fulfill his lifelong dream, which was basically to make games. So two people in kind of different positions with different demeanors, leaving for different reasons to do different things, but leaving all the same. And so I guess some of the points that I wanted to touch on were things like, there are multiple things, and some of them actually will be answered in the mailbag as well. Here are some of the points that I want to talk about. One, does a reviewer use his profession to, or would a reviewer to use his profession to get in good graces with a publisher or a developer that he or she wants to work for? I'll give an example of that, you know, just being a cynical asshole. This is probably not true, but and I'm not going to name drop now. You out there who I'm going to name drop, I apologize. This is not true. I'm just citing this as an example, and you could probably kick my ass anyway. Che Chow, who used to be an editor for EGM and 1UP, a lot of people would make fun of him for overrating the Xbox games that he reviewed. He was the only one to give Perfect Dark Zero a high score on 1UP.com and EGM, and then all of a sudden he jumps to Microsoft. I was like, oh, of course, that, you know, whatever. That's probably coincidence, but, you know, cynics can think what they want to think. Another point is, in Luke Smith's case, his reason for leaving was that, oh, well, I'm, you know, kind of disenchanted or disillusioned with the way that, you know, PR and journalism works. Like, I feel like I'm having my hands tied. Because everybody knows that, like, it's kind of like PR controls the entire fucking message, and journalists have a really hard time getting the real things out of, you know, out of developers and publishers without going through this massive layer of PR. And, you know, Luke Smith was kind of like, this is tough. I'm really disappointed in this, so I'm going to move to Bungie. So from a developer standpoint, I can speak directly to the gamers. Alex, I'm sorry, I just used that word. Do you mind me using that word?
I have to leave now. I have to go. I'm sorry. I can't be a part of anything that uses that term.
What
sorry.
What is this?
Gamer.
Oh, why? Is there something wrong with that?
That's a whole
it's
other
bad.
Podcast.
Yeah, that's there's a whole other subject for that one, but we'll get to that.
I never
time.
Got that. I never. I mean, I can understand the gripes, but I just don't.
Don't do it.
Know.
Don't do it.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Third, is journalism more of a stepping stone for many and kind of a reluctant career for those who don't end up making it to the other side? Another point is, how much more of a stranglehold does PR have over the game industry than it does over other industries, or does it at all? Two more points left. Is video game journalism really something that we need to be concerned about? I mean, do we really care that much about it? Should we just be content to, you know, accept it as, hey, I'm just going to review games. You guys want to know what the games are about. We're going to review them. Or should there be more of a push to make it more like, you know, we want to get real answers. We want to know about the issues. Last point is, and I guess this is the same type of thing, is, and I roll my eyes every time I hear this, do we as consumers need a Lester Bangs of games journalism? Do journalists need a Lester Bangs of game journalism?
Bangs!
Shut up!
All right, what was the first one?
Does a reviewer or do reviewers use their professions to get into good graces with a publisher or developer that he or she wants to work for?
I'm sure there are, but none of them would work for... they certainly wouldn't work for us if that were the case.
Right.
I don't doubt that there are guys out there who are totally using their position as, you know, someone who covers games to, like, just make all buddy-buddy with, you know, various publishers or whoever the hell they want to work with.
Right.
In fact, I would say I've met a couple people, no names,
right, sure,
that have come off that way, at least.
Brent McSorley Chest.
What?
No comment. But yeah, I think that is the minority. I think there are only a few people out there that are like that. I think most people, like, understand that if you're getting into this position, you kind of can't really do that, because that really... I mean, I have friends that are developers. I have friends that work at various publishers and developers and whatever, but I don't, you know, I don't look to them saying, you know, hey, I want to come work for you guys.
Right.
So, you know, hey, why don't we get some more coverage of your game so I look cool to your bosses or whatever. You know, it's like, that's not... That's just not how it works at all, and you know, I think it's a really kind of disturbing practice when that happens, if that happens. So it exists, but I would say it's not a big deal right now.
It kind of reminds me of how Al, I can't remember what magazine you were talking about. It was either Maxim or like Rolling Stone, some magazine that gave some shitty game like 5 stars because they didn't really care about games. So they were like, oh, they paid us in advertising, so let's give them 5 stars. Do you remember that at all, Al? Like which? Which me? Magazine?
Me? Al?
Yes, you, Al.
Oh.
Is there another Al?
Yeah, Al.
Alfred.
Nobody calls me Al, dude. Sorry.
Alfred.
Okay, I know a lot of people named Alex who people call me Al. So anyway, the Rolling Stone or Max.
Something like that. But...
It's gone. I have no idea. But it's a shitty game. They gave like 5 stars. And they're like, yeah, this game is cool. And if you're looking for a game, buy it.
I'm just going to say it right now. If you're getting your game reviews out of Maxim, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, there's a totally other thing you're supposed to be getting out of Maxim.
No, I mean, it's like that's just to be expected from, you know, reviews from the mainstream press. It's like, you know, if it's the trade press, you know, those are the people who actually play a lot of games. Right. Whereas the mainstream press, it's like, you know, maybe they play some of the big stuff.
Right.
And that's all they have for reference at all.
It's like reviews on CNN.
Right. Yeah.
For games.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Anybody else have anything to say? Or, like, does this concern them, even though the word is that it's very in the minority? Like, do you ever look at reviews and you're like, well, I don't know about that one?
The only
it's called front running.
Well, the only thing, like, that kind of concerns me that, you know, Luke quit because he felt it was so bad. I wonder, it's good to hear, you know, Alex say that that's not really how it works, but it's kind of discomforting to hear that somebody quit over feeling like
well,
that.
Well, I think the reason, I mean, what he said, the reason Luke left was because of the PR
different.
Control. It's because of the way that, you know, PR sort of acts as a wall between the developers and, you know, the people who play games, and, like, so does journalism to a certain degree. It's like you kind of have to cut through this, you know, the layers of PR rhetoric to actually get to, you know, what the developers are actually thinking. And he didn't like that. That wasn't his, you know, he wasn't jiving on the whole fact that he had to deal with a whole lot of PR press statements to get to anything that was, like, real.
So I guess the follow-up question to that is that unlike other industries? Is it worse in the gaming industry or are
I think a lot of the trade press is like that, especially in entertainment journalism. I mean, I've known people who, you know, have written about film and stuff, and it's kind of the same deal. It's like you get put in a room with a director or an actor or whatever, but those people are so well-trained by the people who do PR for the movie or for the studio or whatever else that you're not necessarily getting, you know, a lot of real dirt out of any of those interviews or any of what you're doing, you know, any of that stuff. You're just getting, you know, what the message is, what the message they're trying to convey.
Right. Ouch.
Oh, dear God.
What was that?
Somebody's bleeding. Oh, no! My balls! But yeah, I mean, I would say that the game press is maybe a little bit more controlled simply because previews aren't really a big deal anywhere else in any other, like, entertainment medium.
Dennis Dyack argument, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the preview thing is very, you know, it's very specific to games, and, you know, a lot of, like, the way preview coverage is designed is very specific, like, the way PR people deal with it is very specific to that industry. So, you know, I'd say it's maybe a little bit more controlled, but I mean, you know, you go talk, I mean, maybe with the exception of the music industry, you go talk to any other part of it, anyone else who works in entertainment, and it's pretty much the same kind of deal.
Right.
But on a review point of view, like, not a preview, but a post-release review.
Right.
How does PR really affect what somebody's writing about? And even if it does, isn't that something that the market just kind of takes care of?
Well, in the old days, at least from what I've heard from people, is that, you know, it was much more prevalent that PR could affect reviews. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like,
specific, how do they do that?
Like, making deals, basically. Like, you know, there were maybe some people that would cut deals for, you know, for advertising or whatever else. Like, you know, I don't know anyone specific that did this. I don't know any, real specific examples, but I've heard stories, you know, about, you know, people doing that kind of stuff. And I don't think that's really happened a lot in recent years. I think that, you know, that's been cut out. Like, I think the most PR can do at this point is not send you a game to review.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the only way they control it.
All right.
I remember one such blatant example of this is when I saw the previews that they did for the game Catwoman.
Oh!
Saying this over and over and over again.
But that game was amazing, Tony. That was my favorite game.
I'm sure it was.
You pervert.
Great movie, too. Fantastic acting.
Oh, better movie. True.
Yeah.
Sharon Stone's revitalization.
Anyway, yeah, so what they did for the preview was like, this game is shaping up to be like a good 3D platformer fighter kind of bullshit, you know, it's going to have the voices from the, from the actors, from the movie, you know, it's going to be like, look to see it, you know, coming this way, it looks like it's going to be a good, I mean, like, well, who the fuck in their right mind even sees, like, the development of this game and would honestly even look... Dude, if it looked this shitty after post-production, how the fuck are you going to say it's so good on a preview? I mean, like, oh my God.
That's the preview
Alex,
business,
just so you know,
I mean,
Tony has a serious heart condition and is wearing pacemaker.
That's fine.
And while we make light of it, it's no it's
don't
not
talk
a joke.
Out of school!
No, I'll say, you know, straight up, I mean, previews are designed to be, you know, I'm not. I mean, they're not critical looks at games. They're designed to be, you know, take everything into with a grain of salt and say, you know, even if this looks like it sucks, and it does happen. Sometimes stuff like looks absolutely terrible for a really long time when they're in preview code, and then like in the last month of development, it comes together into something that's really good. I mean, I'm not
too
saying
human. E3. Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Gundam.
I don't
Gundam.
Know if you know. I mean, for all I know, Catwoman. You know, maybe that could have been the best platformer of all time. For all I know, but probably not. And yeah, well, yeah, we all know how it turned out. Whatever. I mean, that's the thing is that you have to look at previews specifically for the information. You're not looking for opinions at previews. You're looking at just like, okay, what is this game? What is it doing? What does it look like? How does it play?
No, I totally understand, but at least put in there, you know, it you know, it kind of looks buggy. We hope that they'll work out the kinks by the time, you know.
Yeah. And I think we do for the most part. We usually say this part, you know, looked rough or this part doesn't necessarily isn't working that great and, you know, but hopefully they'll fix that. That's usually what we do. So
yeah, I usually see that.
Right. I remember I was listening to another podcast, the Cheap Ass Gamer podcast, and one of the guys was telling people about how he got invited to the Take-Two event for, like, table tennis, and they had, like, a nice little tournament set up, and they had, like, catered food, and everybody was like, oh, how do you like the game? How do you blah, blah, blah. You know, they kind of pamper you. And
they do.
You know that
yeah, it's good. This game is good. I like the sandwiches.
Yeah, they absolutely do. They try and butter you up as much as they can at those events.
Right.
Which is often why we don't send the people who will be reviewing those games to those events.
Out to those events, right.
Yeah.
So you don't get any of the hookers. That's all for
No, not
people.
Really.
That's unfortunate.
I have never been offered a prostitute. I will say that much.
Well, Alex, let us be the first.
You have to go out and buy it.
Let us be first.
Get your own damn prostitutes, is what they tell me. But
should we get the $5 one or the $2 one? I guess jumping off of that is, I mean, I know we started to dip into Luke Smith's position a little bit, so let's go straight there. I'm going to read kind of an interview that he conducted with his former boss at Kotaku, Brian Crescente, as to why he really left. You know, here's what he says, like, from the horse's mouth. Video game journalism is just weird. You have guys married to women in marketing for the games they cover. Video game journalism is still very young, very easy, still trying to find out where it is. I was getting increasingly frustrated. And then going down to the bottom of the article when he says, right now you have four bridges between developer and reader. Developer to PR, PR to journalist, journalist to reader.
That's actually
and
like three bridges, but okay. Huh? That's actually three bridges, but okay.
Yeah.
And him. He's a writer, not a mathematician. And he says.
Just keep going. Just keep going.
Mathematician? That's great. That's awesome. All right. No,
I thought I said mathematician.
Mathematician? Awesome.
It must be that Asian block again.
Hey, Rook, you stop at Puerto Rico.
Hey.
And he said basically about him. He says, I think there's a really rich opportunity for someone to come in and tell the stories that people want to know. What he's saying straight from the developer's mouth. And he's like, oh, this could get rid of those two middle bridges. But to me and also to Brian, he was like, yeah, but you get rid of the journalism and the developer can control, like, just like PR does, developers can control whatever the fuck they want to say. And so to me, it's like, well, no, you need it even more than ever. And, you know, then it...
You need somebody who's going to speak the
truth. Right, exactly. And then at the bottom, it says Luke agrees. I think there absolutely still is a need for journalism. It has to find out how it's going to operate and function. But then why say that, yeah, we should get rid of the bridge? You know, why... Journalism is about getting objective information, you know, to people who want to see, you know, want to read about it. And getting rid of this bridge doesn't seem to me like the solution, which is why I kind of phrased the question as such. Is leaving instead of staying behind and trying to fix it, is that the right way to go, really? And, you know, what
probably
are your thoughts
bridge.
On his views?
I mean, I'll be honest. I don't really know Luke that well. And, you know, I'm not going to say exactly what was in his head. But I suspect that, like, at least some of that was just he wanted to go work for Bungie.
Right.
You know,
sure.
It's like as much of it is, you know, him having these rants. I would also say that, you know, I'm sure he's probably, you know, on some level always wanted to go work there. So that's, you know, to the point of, you know, leaving instead of fixing it, I mean... You know, opportunities like that just arise. You know, it's like you can sit there and, you know, endlessly bang your head against something you don't really love or, you know, you're too frustrated with to deal with, or you can just go do something that you actually want to enjoy. And I totally understand where he would be coming from, just like, you know, saying, well, you know what? This opportunity is there. I'm going to go do this instead. I don't want to sit here and deal with journalism when I have all these problems with it, and that's that. So I get that.
Right. I guess I kind of feel like, aw, damn it, because, you know, he was... along with a few other people, he was one of the people who could have changed it. But you're right. I mean, people have their own priorities. They need to do what they need to do.
Yeah. But I mean, to be honest, I don't know how. I mean, I don't know how much you can really change it at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, just with where it sits, because I mean, again, it's like I said, PR is not, you know, it's not something that is just inherent to the game industry. I mean, all entertainment journalism has to go through PR in some respect or another.
Sure.
And it's like, you know, to tell the stories people really want. Well, what stories are those exactly?
Right.
Do you really want to know every little nitty gritty bit of drama that went on behind the scenes of, you know, some random first person shooter? I mean, sometimes it's interesting and sometimes it's really not. You know, it's like you can sit there and it's like, well, I got to the nitty-gritty details about how they rushed this game to development and, you know, how, you know, there was all this politics involved. It's like, well, yeah, that's every game.
Right.
Every game has that same story in some respect or another.
I guess I was thinking more on the effect of things such as, you know, asking people at Microsoft about microtransactions, asking them about, like, the, you know, what is up with the Guitar Hero download prices? Like, you know, kind of like 10 years ago, they might have been like, oh, Guitar Hero pricing is this. So how do you feel about that? But now you've got guys like, for example, I think it was Joystick who conducted the interview. They were like, you know, hey, look, people are unhappy with this. Explain yourself. What's the deal with this? Or I think the interviews that Dan Chu over at EGM conducted with, I think, Peter Moore.
Yeah, they were the Peter Moore interviews.
Yeah, and Jack Tredden. Those come to mind. But, you know, I do agree with you that the opportunity for such, like, oh, juicy stories isn't really there.
But it's like you read those interviews, and it's like they're asking the questions, but they're not getting answers that are, like, more than PR spin.
Right.
Right.
It's like, you know, no one's going to come out, like, with the exception of maybe David Jaffe, who is, you know, a lovely brand of crazy that I love. Like, nobody is going to, like, nobody is just going to sit there and talk a bunch of crap about their own product.
But then nobody follows up by re-asking the question when they sense bullshit.
So and even when they do, they're still not getting an answer.
I don't see them do that often enough. I think it's kind of like it's a little bit of both sides here. Like there's one that you can't piss them off too much. Maybe there is kind of a power situation where the PR directors at some of these big development firms they really if they get that pissed off, then they really do screw over whoever's interviewing them. Especially if you're a game journalist and you're not that huge and you're the one who's willing to take a risk.
Yeah, I mean, to a degree, it is about, you know, your position. Like, you know, you can get around some of the. I mean, you always have to be careful. You always have to be mindful of, you know, like, what you're saying, you know, how you're addressing someone that is in, like, a position like that. But, you know, for, like, a smaller journalist that's just part of some random blog or, you know, I mean, not even, like, up to, like, say, you know, Joystick or a Kotaku level or whatever.
Us.
Yeah, like
us.
A Tri-Games level.
Okay, let's just say, for you guys, if you were to go up and ask those questions, you would probably never get to ask those questions again.
Right. Totally, yeah.
This was something I was kind of tossing around was the where the funding comes from for the companies that are interviewing. So even though they're private companies, the deals under the table, especially because they're private companies and they don't disclose earnings, any non-public company doesn't really need to tell anybody where they're getting their money from.
Sure.
And I think that winds up creating a little bit of skepticism in the public's eye of where or how far are you going to push it and why.
Yeah.
And I don't see – and you can see this in, like, the regular media between something like NPR and Fox, you know?
Yeah.
Two totally different views on the news, and there's a really good reason why. And I think it might be interesting to have some kind of nonprofit, public, game-related division of either a public station or a solely game-related public news thing, right, where the funding is totally public and completely independent.
Yeah, I guess the reason why I'm glad to see more in-depth information now than before, not because I want to get dirt, but because I want, you know, I feel good knowing that as a consumer, you know, I'm being told what the deal is if I have a problem with something. Just like, yeah, they're going to give PR spin answers, but at least people are asking the questions, and at least it gets people thinking, you know what, I've been kind of unhappy with, you know, going out to the store and buying this system, it's working like this, and it's not doing what I want, and I'm just kind of confused, I'm kind of unhappy, but I don't know why. Someone asks a question, and they're like, oh, you know, that makes perfect sense, you know, now I have the opportunity to say, oh, well, something's going wrong here, this is why I'm unhappy, and now I can voice my opinion as a consumer. But, yeah, at the end of the day, I think Ethan said pretty much echoed your sentiment, Alex, when we were talking about the Sony Kotaku blackball thing, where, like, it's not about, like, a world disaster. It was about home.
Yeah.
You know, who cares, right?
Yeah, that whole thing was really weird. I'm not going to comment too heavily on that, but it's like, you know, that I mean, that is an example of PR, for, you know, like what they will sometimes do, what kind of lengths they will go to protect, you know, their PR plans, basically what they have, you know, in like how they want their coverage to be presented.
Right. I think for the past 2 or 3 minutes, we've actually knocked out the last of the questions. So I guess I'll just leave with this one. Just on the less controversial side of things, just things like, for example, Greg leaving to making a game that he's always wanted to do with his life. What happens, you know, in a situation where everybody, or not everybody, but most of the people who are in this side of the business jump over to that side? Like, is there a danger of kind of losing the people that will write the things that we want to read, or is that not such a big deal?
I don't know, because it's like, I never got into this wanting to be a game developer. You know, I've never been interested in making games. That's not my thing. Like, I figure you either get into this business because, one, you want to make games at some point in your life, or two, you just like writing. And
right.
me,
and
I
like
just
games.
Like writing. I like mm-hmm. like writing, and I like games. So that's pretty much right. where I come off on this. But I do imagine that a lot of people who get into the journalism side of things, you know, it's like they happen to be able to write. And, you know, someday maybe they aspire to be a game developer, or they're really interested right. in just game development as a whole. And, you know, I don't know if there's really a danger exactly, just because this has been going on for a long time. You know, it's not a recent situation where, like, you know, just now all of a sudden every editor is,
oh, right,
you know,
sure, absolutely, yeah.
Like, for years, you know, various editors have gone over to PR or development or other areas of the game industry. And
Greg's old boss, Joe Fielder.
Greg's old boss, Joe Fielder. Amir Ajami was another former right. editor. You know, Bob now works for Blizzard PR. Blizzard. So,
Jose Roberto
Coleco. but yeah, I mean, it's I don't think it's really a danger. I think it does. You know, it's a legitimate question as to, you know, why does everyone who wants to write about games eventually go out to make games? Like, does that really make, you know, in that question, like, do the journalists really want to be journalists? Do they
right,
just
right.
are they all just aspiring game? But at the same time, you know, Roger Ebert was an aspiring screenwriter, and you know, and then
right.
he just
good point
got into this whole, you know, film review thing, and well, he's made a bit of a career for himself in that. So
sure,
you know, it's sometimes things shake out that, you know, you get to go off and do the thing you've always really wanted to do, and sometimes it doesn't. So you know, and you right. get to keep being the editor, or in my case, I just want to write about stuff. So
sure, right,
and drum offbeat.
Yeah, very offbeat.
Well, this was very informative, very good. Actually, one of the best segments I've.
I have a quick question before we end it,
yeah.
And I think it's kind of obvious, but I'm not sure. I mean, maybe Alex, maybe you can't answer it, but
okay,
I'll ask it anyway.
All right.
Has there ever been a time when you wrote a review where there was any kind of pressure whatsoever to change the review, not print the review? If this includes GameSpot and anywhere else you've written stuff, and did you ever feel like you were being pressured in one direction or another for a reason that other than the most honest opinion that you could possibly give about a product that you were reviewing?
No.
Okay.
Flat out no. Cool. I can tell you right now, I have never been asked to change a review score other than I don't think the text tone quite lines up with the score you have during QA.
Okay, Bart, but that's like
that's
right.
That's an internal, like, you know, we're just you know, going through the checks and balances of the review process.
Right, and
I've
that's
never,
a quality
like,
of review question, not a
yeah.
opinion-changing question, right?
Exactly. I have never had anyone, you know, I mean, every once in a while someone has said, well, I thought this was better than you did,
right.
you know, or I didn't like this as much
right,
as you
right.
did. But that's all internal. I have never had any sort of, like, external pressure of, like, you know, well, we have an ad deal in place with these guys, and they were kind of hoping for an 8.5, so could you rewrite this whole thing? Thanks. No, that's never happened.
I would figure that something like that never happened, but I was wondering if something more subtle ever happened, and it's extremely encouraging to hear you say, like, flat out no.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, I don't know how other publications deal with it. I would suggest that maybe somewhere out there has been that situation, and probably more so in the past than in the last few years. But, yeah, like, GameSpot, as far as I know, has never, ever had that, and it's certainly not in the time I've ever worked there. So,
awesome.
Right.
Now, do we cool. need to address Lester Banks of Game Journalism?
Banks!
Need to be
no, I think I think that generally
think
like
that
fell
already.
Within our conversation of, you know, like, is there a need to really push this forward? Like, and who wants to, like, you know, kind of sit and read a chummy experience with a developer, you know, smoking weed and drinking beer
and at the
while
same
they
time,
develop their game.
And at the same time, like, a Lester Banks type personality doesn't fit well with an industry that is based almost solely on, you know, focus testing and a bunch of guys sitting at a conference table going, well, how can we sell this?
Sure.
It's like
sure.
music, you know, is this right. artistic form that you don't have to be signed to get out there. You know, it's like you're right. you have a message. Even with like independent film or, you know, like there's that sort of inherent message behind it. What is the message of games? For the most part, it's like with mm-hmm. the exception of like a Kojima or one of those guys. Like for the most part, you know, what is the message of the new Shrek game? What is Lester Bangs going to have to say about the new Shrek game?
I think actually,
I can't what believe you pulled that out.
What does Lester Bangs have to say about Sultrio Solitaire? You know, it's like there's just oh. no there's nothing for a personality of that type to say about games other than, well, this is stupid.
Yeah, but that in itself is actually kind of an important thing to say. I mean, and in that, it's yeah. it's almost like just critique the entire game as a whole and say Shrek shouldn't be released because it sucks and it doesn't offer anybody anything except a way to waste their time.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what, you know, game journalism already right. does. So it doesn't need to it doesn't right. I mean, I'm not going to say game journalism doesn't need to evolve, but it doesn't necessarily need to evolve
right.
into that.
Right, right.
Right. Yeah. Before we end this, I just wanted to say that I was rolling my eyes when I read Lester Bangs, so I agree with you totally there.
Yeah.
Bangs.
We're going to take a short break and come back with mailbag. And
we're
not
back. Actually taking a break.
And we're back. Here's a mailbag question from from a GameSpot user, Screwtop, Skrutop.
I know that guy.
Yep. He asks you directly a question. Do you feel that your experience at GameSpot will give you a better insight as to what makes particular games successful as opposed to the average game designer? After all, you've turned a trained critical eye towards pretty much every game made. So I would think that you'd be able to avoid a lot of the pitfalls that many games fall into. Repetitive action, poor story, derivative gameplay, Shrek, etc.
Yeah, you know, the extensive training I've had to become a critic, not my, you know, I play games and I think this game sucks. You know, yeah, no, whatever, I know what he's saying.
It would, the army.
I think it does to a certain degree, though. At the same time, you know, who's to say that, you know, the poor story, like the story that I write is doesn't suck. You know, it's like who's to say that, like, fiction, because I write fiction every once in a while in my own time, you know, just as a hobby. And I don't necessarily think I'm that great of a fiction writer. I don't know that I could write a really good story, especially for a game. Who's to say that, you know, like the great gameplay design that I come up with comes together with, you know, right. the team of people that I'm working with or any of that. It's like there are a lot of great developers out there who've made really terrible games because it's just the resources weren't there or the team they had wasn't necessarily up to snuff to creating their vision, that kind of stuff. And it's like at that point, you still have to put out a game. You still have investments, you know, from a publisher or anyone else, and you still have to have a product that goes out on store shelves, even if it sucks.
One second. Al just name-dropped SX Superstar. Can you elaborate on that, Al?
Oh God! Have you looked at that game, Alex?
What game?
SX Superstar.
SX Superstar.
From Acclaim.
No, I don't
it
think so.
It was for PS2, Xbox, and Cube.
No, I don't think I ever played that.
On the front, it had a yellow box art with a biker.
Yeah, you're not
teabagging his bike.
You're not getting me here, man.
This game must have really sucked. I think that one wins the bag of shit.
Explain your history with that for a quick second before you go back to the bag.
All right, I had to test that game. And whenever I had to test that game, I used to hate that day. And basically, the game sucked bad. It had very bad physics. It had aimless gameplay. It was basically a, you know, motorcycle.
It was a bag of crap, is what you're saying.
Game. Yeah, but I gotta get into the whole F Team thing.
Okay.
It was aimless, extremely aimless. It had a very bad subplot where you had to like go through girlfriends, and the better you played and the more races you won, the better.
It sounds fantastic.
Girlfriend you
extreme
had.
Sports games with storylines.
Bigger
yeah.
titties.
Yeah.
Aye.
And so
I think you just named every EA game for like the last 5 years.
But now,
well,
ouch.
No, I'm just saying that's they've been doing the girlfriend and get a better pad thing like to death yeah, lately.
And the better
so,
tits.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh,
Jesus. I didn't say it. I didn't
one
say that.
You didn't say that.
One track mind.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But wait, now check it out.
Go for it.
This game was developed by Climax. Climax was also developing. I think they were doing ATV, Paul Quai Racing,
okay.
as well
okay.
for us.
All right.
That was a good game.
Uh-huh.
Made by the same company that made SX Superstar, which was a shitty game.
Yeah.
So we used to always say, okay, Climax put their F team on SX Superstar.
Ah.
So it goes with what you were saying, where sometimes, you know, they don't put their best developers to accomplish a particular vision or something like that, but they still have to make the game anyway.
Right. Fuck team. Okay. Moving on to...
Yes, there are B teams. I will say that. There are B teams for developers. There you go.
Yeah. Moving on to the next question. Slunks, who...
Yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah. We all know that guy. Mr. Yeah. Blindfold, Jordan, blah, blah, suck my balls. He asks...
How's his hand?
And this is, I think, directly... Oh, we don't know. How is his hand? We should ask him.
Apparently he
wasn't beating.
Oh, God.
Oh, he was.
Okay. This is probably in direct reference to GameSpot's reader review system, but I think it can be applied to any user-based review system on any site. Question A, is recommending a well-written review the same as agreeing with one?
No.
Okay. Anybody else say no?
It could be very well-written, and it may, you know, not be something that you particularly agree with, but you may think that someone else would get a good idea of what a game is like, or may happen to agree with the particular review.
Right. Okay, good, because his answer to our answer was, assuming one person said yes, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Burr!
So I had to read that, but I just did. Question two, what was Alex's break for getting into the review side of the industry? What advice would you give to listeners who are trying to do the same? I myself realize I'm going to need plentiful work. I'm going to need a plentiful of work. Slugs, buddy, that's the first thing you need to work on.
Oh, man.
How much money do
I have? He's better Guitar Hero than me, so I can laugh at him. All right.
But yeah, what was your big break, I guess? Is there anything people
I am a bad on? Example of this. I am a really bad example because my answer is going to be it totally depends on who you know. Because I got into this because I knew a guy named Glenn Rubenstein who used to be a GameSpot editor like at the very, very beginning. Mm-hmm. And before that, this is after he left GameSpot. He got a job working for Core Magazine, which mm-hmm. was this, like, it started out as a website only, so that made the title all the more weird. and they were, like, it was a startup thing. This guy really had, the guy who owned it had a real dislike for Ziff, since Ziff pretty much ran the business at that point.
Ouch.
And yeah, no, I'm saying that was the whole reason for making the site was he wanted to get back at Ziff for something that I didn't know about. So Glenn needed a couple of freelancers just to write reviews and get, like, the catalog of work up on the site, and I was a friend of his, so he
And how'd you meet Glenn?
Me. Like, I had never... I was in a band with Glenn.
There you go, Slunks. Get in a band.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, from there, it's like, you know, I did that job for a while, then Glenn went to work for CNET Game Center, which was the old CNET site before they bought GameSpot, and he needed a PC freelancer, so he called me up because I had done it before, and I guess my writing wasn't completely terrible. and then, you know, years after that, they had an assistant editor opening job at GameSpot, and I've known Jeff about as long as I've known Glenn, so he said, hey, you want to apply for this? And I did. And
nice.
Now, I mean, for the perspective of someone who doesn't just know a bunch of game editors, I would say your best bet is just to build up a body of work as much as possible. Like, just keep writing a billion reviews, keep re-editing them to make sure that, you know, you're not just writing a whole bunch of crap.
Need a plentiful of work.
And then,
yeah.
Yeah, you need a plentiful of work, and you want to be able to showcase that as much as possible. There are always smaller sites that are looking for people. You know, maybe they don't pay initially
Trigged.
At all.
Right,
games on net. I wasn't going to say it, but all right.
he was thinking they might actually
get it. There are tons of small sites out there. Yeah, but there are tons of small sites out there that, you know, either become successful or they don't. But at the same time, that stuff will always be up on the web in some fashion or another. So you can just, you know, point to it as, hey, check it out. I have experience.
Yeah,
I can do this.
Yeah, like regardless of whether or not the site ends up being prominent, as long as the site itself is, you know, well-kept and well-written, and your work is accepted on it, then, you know, it'll show that, you know, yes, the site that has high standards has accepted your work. You know, I'll say on my own behalf, like, yeah, we have, like, a reader, but,
yeah,
like, I strive to keep everything that we write
And I'm it, by the way. Sorry. I'm it.
Yes!
That's awesome. Cool. Yeah, but you count for like 1,000.
So no one is actually going to listen to this because their only listener is on the show.
But yeah, it's like, you know, as long as, yeah, just be careful. If some site's like, hey, dude, I need the writers. I could pay you $1 per review. We small, but we going to get big. And give us your, don't give your shit to that person because, no. You know, some people will look at it and be like, well, what the hell are you doing on this site? But yeah. Anyway,
it's like get some friends together, make a site, you know, get people you trust together. I mean, like a good example actually of this is Kevin Van Ord, one of our staff members. Like he started out writing for like IGO, which was like a site that was basically formed by some of our forum users,
right?
And you know, wasn't getting paid for it, was just doing it because he loved it, right. And you know, eventually that site got bought. I don't know if those guys are even getting paid yet, but that site still exists. Kevin used that as a springboard to get a freelancing job with GameSpy.
And now he's on Tournament TV.
And now he's on Tournament TV, and he's reviewing CNC for us. So you know what? Right. Success story right there.
Right.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Booyah. Last question from Wootex.
I know that guy.
Yeah. I know that guy, too. He bumped me out of the first round of Slunks' tournament, and then I got revenge on him. Because Slunks had a loser's bracket, and somehow that loser's bracket led me to second place.
Nice.
I don't know, but here goes a question. I just wanted to ask Alex if he feels that he personally, or if game journalists as a whole, know distinctly what they want to, in the games that they play. This is kind of like the first question.
Yeah.
Okay. Of course, I think this is more direct, though. If you are able to criticize a game, but if you had the money and program support, do you think you would know where to start making a game people would really want to play? Okay, that's the same question. Never mind.
Yeah.
answered that, Wootex, but go ahead, speak.
Yeah, I'll just say, I think that, yes, journalists can design. I'm not one of them. I personally don't have it in me to, you know, I don't want to make a game. I've never really wanted to, and I just enjoy games. I like playing them. I don't necessarily need to sit there and think about, like, every, you know, well, they made this really interesting design decision in doing this, and that, like, I do it for the writing, but when I'm just playing something for fun, like, I'm just like, this is fun! That is the extent of my thinking for that. Is like when I'm enjoying something, I just I sit there and I drool endlessly and just go, "This is great." So,
what were you saying, Ethan?
I was just going to ask him if Alex, if you ever worry that if you really did make an attempt, that it would actually ruin some of the enjoyment you get just out of sitting, drooling, and playing.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I totally think like if I had to sit there and think about like the minutia of how development works, like I would probably have an aneurysm. I do think about it to some degree when I'm reviewing stuff because, like, you know, right. I understand the limitations of hardware and I understand how, you know, certain things can't be done on certain systems and certain things don't translate to this control scheme or whatever. But, like, if I had to think about it beyond the scope of writing about it, I would probably kill myself.
So you're not a slave to the code, like Mark Echo said. Sorry.
No, I'm definitely not a slave to the code.
Oh, God, that guy.
That guy is great. You love him. Don't lie. Mark Echo is your personal hero.
So I have a sweatshirt. Give me a break. No. Last part of this question. I wanted to tell Alex to join Zaps' Guitar Hero League. I'll link you if you want. But yes, there it is. How do you put it out there, Wootex?
How do you have a Guitar Hero League?
I don't know. He just has songs to play and asks people to post their scores, and I'm late. I think I have 2 more days for the first week. Anyway, well, that's it for the mailbag, and I think that's it for the episode. Does anybody have any last words, donations, comments, questions, answers?
I'm going to need you to cut about two-thirds of what I said today. I don't think any of – in fact, I'm just going to say that I can't be on this week's show. You're just going to have to cut me out.
We'll just insert, like, clever little, you know, ad-libbed comments like, hi, this is Alex, and I say it's great. And just cut to the next
You should just get, like, one of those, like, little robot voices to replace me. Just, you know, I am Alex. Just get the little
I love Jeff Gerstmann. He is a good boss.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, just that is me. Alex is robot this week.
any other questions or comments or whatever that you guys had before I go into the game and this?
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you very much, Alex.
Thank you very much for joining. And
yeah, you all should thank me. No, whatever. You guys are welcome. I was happy to do it.
Yeah.
Thanks, seriously.
It was a great opportunity to talk with you. And we really appreciate your answers to our mind-boggling questions.
Yeah, it was all really difficult stuff. It was very some real brain training going on there.
Oh, jeez. For those out there listening, don't forget to join our Pirates versus Ninjas contest. We don't have a deadline because we don't have enough people.
Yeah, we need
don't
more.
You want to win $50 and a t-shirt? What the fuck is wrong with you people?
Pirate
join.
Or Ninja?
Link.
Pirate
yes,
Pirate
or Ninja. It's right on the front page. There's a link right there.
Win $50.
Also, don't forget to listen to the Gamers Lounge podcast hosted by Juradai and Neo Jedi on GameSpot. Don't forget to listen to Game Slaves Radio, hosted by Riven, and they can be found on the iTunes Music Store. For Alex, Al, Ethan, hey. Tony, I have been person.
Ninjas, dude. Yeah. Ninjas win.
Choop on.
No, pirates, ninjas, pirates, ninjas. Pirates.
Ninjas.
Pirates are the underdogs.
Ninjas. Ninja pirates.
No, you can't have a ninja pirate.
Jinx.
I think you can have a pirate ninja.
Shut up.
No, it's ninja pirates.
All right,
what
I think
about
we've
ghost pirates.
Chow Yun Fat.
Ghost
what
pirate.
About, what about like ghost pirates versus ghost ninjas?
Wait. Oh. So I think you know what ghost pirate takes the cool stealthiness of the ninja and puts it into the pirate. I don't think you even need a ghost. I think the ghost
I don't
pirate
think
beats the regular ninja.
Ghost pirate stealthy.
Starring Nicolas Cage.
Why, Tony?
Come on, that was Ghost Rider. Ghost Rider.
Oh,
Ghost
was
Rider.
Very
Tony is
using
way. Much better.
And he's now over 60 anymore. Today.
I got a better average than.
Oh my God, 61.